Focus, Andre Middleton, interviews Judy Jacobson of Hap Gallery, which shows contemporary artists, explores curatorial issues, and experiments with gallery practices. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the film premiere screening of Paying the Price for Peace, the story of S. Brian Wilson, Sunday, July 3rd at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Vietnam veteran S. Brian Wilson was run over and nearly killed by a military train during a nonviolent protest in 1987. Paying the Price for Peace tells the story of Wilson's activism and exposes the truth about the United States' addiction to war and the lies it perpetuates in order to wage ongoing violence. S. Brian Wilson and the film's producer will be in attendance. Again, that's KBOO Community Radio's premier screening of Paying the Price for Peace, the story of S. Brian Wilson, Sunday, July 3rd at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Soul City Supper Club concert series on Saturday, July 2nd at the Star Theater in Portland. This month features local soul artist Ronnie Wright with new vocal diva Tamara Stevens and surprise guests from the Bespeak Project. The event will also have guest DJs, door prizes, and more. Again, that's the Soul City Supper Club concert series with Ronnie Wright and Tamara Stevens on Saturday, July 2nd at the Star Theater, 13 Northwest 6th Avenue in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia, it is Tuesday, June 28th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, Real Radio for Real People at 90.7 FM. Today's guest is Stephen Zunis Beck to shed a little light on, wait for it, Benghazi! Every conservative's favorite spot for their brain to take a vacation, as if they've ever been actually back from vacation. Yes, it's Benghazi again. They were hoping to keep to run this out till November. But it turns out that the 800-page report is in. It finds, wait for it, again, nothing new. And even the old stuff is empty. So we trudge on across the Middle East, armored only in lies and American exceptionalism and empire. And we all know that empires, this one is going to bite the dust in Benghazi, as well it ought. Today's weather, mostly cloudy and clearing later on in the day, with temperatures eventually heading 80. Calm winds, and tonight increasing clouds with a low around 52. For tomorrow, again, the day starts out pretty much the same through mid-morning and clearing. And then, look at that. We have a high of 82 tomorrow. Not much in the way of wind. And for tomorrow night, clear skies, lows around 53. Stephen Zunis is on the line now. We're waiting patiently. We're going to run through a few headlines quickly. Well, as if things are not bad enough for Portlanders who suck air near industrial glass sites. And if things were not bad enough for Bullseye Glass now, get this. Apparently, Bullseye has been dumping glass shards down the city's drains. My mental image is somebody at night with a bucket sneaking around looking for a drain. How do you dump pieces of glass down a drain? Don't you have to? You'd bring a hammer along. You're going to have to do a job on them with something heavy before they're going to fit down there. Well, anyway, good luck with smashing glass, Bullseye. And a federal judge has approved class action status for a lawsuit over whether children are allowed to have lawyers for their deportation hearings. And again, it's not funny, but one does conjure up images. And small business owners in Oregon say they are worried about how the first of a series of minimum wage increases will affect both their profits and their employees. And of course, the big scare is, we're going to have to fire everybody because we can't afford to pay them. Well, no less a luminary than the U.S. Department of Labor has a page, and I do commend it to your attention, seriously. Have a look. It's Mythbusters. That's right. Mythbusters from the Labor Department that completely debunks the right-wing scare generated, of course, by ALEC and other entities. This right-wing scare that $15 an hour is going to tank every hot dog and lemonade stand in the whole country. Well, it isn't. It's going to improve life for the downtrodden and the disenfranchised. And God forbid, in the eyes of the right, that the low-paid, the bottom of the pile as far as wages are concerned, God forbid that those people should ever get a chance of having a life. Because if they did, they might look around and realize that their life wasn't half as good as the people who were dictating to them. And they might think, well, minimum wage, $15, we'll see about that. We'll go higher. So, end of that. Mythbusters on the Labor Department's page. Yesterday, another West Coast city was weighing in on terminals that were indeed terminal, potentially, at least two definitions. The Oakland City Council voted unanimously to kill a plan to use a proposed marine terminal to transport Utah coal to Asia, calling such shipments public health and safety hazards, backers argued, okay, wait for it, that the project would bring needed jobs. Of course, it's always about jobs, isn't it? Let's scare people to death. Yeah, well, something's going to prevent jobs, or it's going to get rid of jobs. It's always, if you want to scare people into doing anything you want, yell jobs. It works every time. And the Supreme Court opinion setting aside the bribery conviction of former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell is going to make it harder for Justice Department prosecutors to bring similar cases in the future. And it brings welcome news to other elected officials investigated for or charged with corruption. Governor Kitzhaber, you hear that? That said, we've got one last note. California regulators are expected to decide today, whether to drop their long-standing environmental objections to the state's last nuclear power plant in return for its promised early closing. And on that note, we wanted to bring in Stephen Zunis. Thank you so much for your patience.
Good morning.
We're so glad to have you with us. This Benghazi business, Hillary Clinton, it seems to me pretty obvious that they were trying to spin it out as long as possible and see that they've 800 pages and now and not much more. Can you talk a little bit about why Benghazi has been such a focal point for conservatives?
Well, as listeners to your show know, I've been highly critical of many policies of the Obama administration in the greater Middle East, and Hillary Clinton in particular. So it's ironic that the Republicans would jump on something and where they are grossly exaggerating the problems of the administration and not even looking at the bigger issues.
See, that's why we asked you on the show today.
The thing is, this highly partisan report, despite they're desperately trying to find some wrongdoing, you know, the best they could come up with was that there were some problems with bureaucratic inertia, inadequate resources, and a rapidly worsening security situation that perhaps the administration should have been more on top of. I mean, that's the best they could do in terms of attacking, despite all the millions of dollars and the many months and that kind of thing. And you know, that's the thing, when the real the legitimate criticisms of Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration are policies that the Republicans either agree with or think should be even worse.
Yes.
They have to desperately scramble for a non-issue like this. I remember in the Bush administration, there were at least a dozen attacks on U.S. embassies and consulate offices, leading dozens of fatalities, and there was never an investigation like this. It's incredible. The waste of time in these kinds of non-issues.
Well, it seems to me that one of the key factors here is that everybody loves to say the word Benghazi. Well, we should say it definitely, we bring it up every day, because it just rolls off the tongue. And many of these places and these people are utterly unpronounceable, and people, Americans, would have never known that there was such a thing as Sunnis and Shiites. They were all just a bunch of Mohammedans until we decided to wage war against them and discovered what we're actually attacking. Hillary Clinton, of course, the super hawk, is ironic that she would be the target of the investigation when she would have probably bombed Benghazi flat months ago if it had been within the scope of her power to do so. So does this have an effect on any discernible effect on foreign policy in the Middle East? Is anyone paying attention besides Republicans?
I mean, they're avoiding the big questions, of course, about why the situation in Libya was as chaotic as it has been since the NATO-led military intervention in 2011. It avoids raising the question of why there's been a dramatic growth in this kind of Salafist extremism and terrorism. I mean, these all go back to policies that Republicans, as well as some Democrats like Hillary Clinton, have supported. And this is the debate we should be having. This is what should we be talking about, not some kind of mythical cover-up and scandal about, regarding the tragic attack on the U.S. Consulate that killed the U.S. ambassador and three other diplomatic personnel. So it is a classic case of distraction, getting the media and the populace, you know, focused on a non-issue instead of having the real, more serious policy debates that we should be having.
Yeah, and as you said, the chaos in Libya, it itself was utterly avoidable. And in that context, of course, Benghazi is just another casualty of a war that we brought on ourselves, it would seem. We've got a couple got about 15 seconds left. You want to direct anyone, Alistair's attention to any other source or anything that you've written about this? Where else to go for? Is there any more?
I have addressed Libya a little bit in my articles. You can find it on my website, www.stephenzunis.org. Stephenzunes. But the main thing I would encourage your listeners to do is to hopefully not pay any more attention to this, because it's gone on much too long, and we really need to focus on the given that Hillary Clinton is likely the next president, and despite everything I hope she is, given the alternative, let's prepare to struggle to make sure we have a less militaristic and more rational U.S. Policy under the next administration.
Stephen Zunis, thank you so much. Of course, Stephen Zunis is a professor of politics and international international issues at the University of San Francisco. Thanks so much for being with us. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, June